Psalm 46, verse number 1 to 11. Psalm 46. You see, we have people watching us, more people watching us outside than in our congregation. So we say hi to you. Psalm 46, verse number 1 up to verse number 11. So again, we have a responsive reading here. Verse number 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Our Heavenly Father, tonight we thank you again for this great, great psalm. And Lord, this is a psalm that deals with calamity and disaster. This is a psalm that deals with things like earthquakes. And Lord, I pray tonight that you help us understand that you are still and always will be God of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for telling us that we can be still, we can be at peace always. Be still and know that I am God. You are the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of the Old Testament, and the God of the present. Lord, I pray that souls will get saved today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Kindly be seated right now. A psalm dealing with calamity and disaster. A psalm dealing with calamity and disaster. I find this psalm, Psalm 46, a psalm, a song actually, that deals with calamity and disaster. Verse number 10, be still. I love that verse. And every one of us ought to memorize that verse and ought to ponder upon that verse always, especially nowadays. As I have made mention, earthquakes has caused some grief and pain and sorrow and fear. Importantly, fear in the hearts of people. But we can be still, God says, verse number 10, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. This psalm seems to be a song of God's people in a time of great revolution and desolations in the world. Therefore, God's people rejoice in God as their refuge and strength and present help. Thank the Lord. He is the help of God's people right now. He has been our help, source of strength. And we believe He will always be in the future our help. But one thing is sure, He is right now our help. Even in times of greatest troubles in our lives, look at verse number 1 to 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and the mountains. Look at the landslides today. Look at the movement of the earth through earthquakes that are happening right now. Will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. That is exactly what is happening today. Exactly what is happening today. He is our help. Our God, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear. Oh, thank God for that. God's people rejoice of God. God's people, let me say that again, rejoice of God, not only as being their help by defending them from desolations and calamities in which the rest of the world were involved, but also they rejoice because He is God supplying them acting as a never failing river with refreshment and comfort and joy in times of calamities. Look at verse number 4. There is a river. The streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her at the right early. Oh, thank God, we have a great God like that. In verse number 6, verse 8, God set forth, look at this please, in verse number 6, the heathen raged, the kingdom were moved, He uttered His voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. So these two verses set forth the terrible changes and calamities in which we're in the world. The heathen raged, the kingdom were moved, He uttered His voice, and the earth melted. Can you imagine? Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He hath made in the earth. Look at verse number 9. Verse number 9. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. And He burneth the chariot in fire. He maketh wars to cease when they are against His people. He breaketh the bow and bent against His people, His servants. Be still and know that I am God. These verses primarily show the great works of God, especially in delivering His people. We see here His greatness. We see here His dominion as He manifests His power, His sovereignty. And He then commands all to be still and know that He is God. He says, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Jeremiah 29, look at verse 11, please. Share your Bible. Jeremiah 29. I always love this verse. Verse number 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. You see, God allowed His people to be taken into captivity. But God has promised after 70 years, in our lesson during Sunday school, God has promised after 70 years, they will have the chance to return. God will make a way back for them. And during this time, while they were waiting for the 70th year to be expired, God says, stay here, build you some houses there. But He said, there is an end of this. You'll not be here totally. After 70 years, and you know, we have learned our lesson that God raised a man by the name of Cyrus, coming from Persia, from Iran today. God raised that man. And that man signed a law in then permitting the Jews to go back. So during that time of 70-year captivity, God says, I'm not totally abandoning you. And look at verse 11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I love that. And you see, I know the thought that I have thought about you. No, I know the thought that I think right now. He's our present help right now. I know the thought that I think, He says. I'm glad He says, I think. I think towards you. If I were to write the Bible, I would have said that I know the thought that I have thought about you. No, I know the thoughts that I think right now about you, towards you. Saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not the beaver. I'm not here to totally ruin you, totally destroy you. I'm allowing this to happen to build you up. And I'm disciplining you as my children. I'm not dealing with you as heathen or bastards. I'm dealing with you as my sons and daughters. God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What is that expected end? The 70 year, expiration of the 70 year. And truly, God fulfilled this promise to the children of Israel under the rule of Governor Zerubbabel. 50,000 people returned to their beloved city. Imagine a man by the name of Cyrus, 180 plus years before he was even known, before he was born, God mentioned his name already. And after 70 years, exactly, that man, Cyrus, signed an edict or a law, decree, allowing them to go back. God is amazing. God is wonderful. Be still and know that I am God. Thank the Lord, we have a great God. First of all, we see here a divine command, a duty we must carefully observe. There is something we must observe as God's people here. First of all, we need to be still. The first thing, the first command that we need to observe is be still before God. Be still, God says. Be still means stay calm. Pag nailinog, lisod mo stay calm. And my son tried to correct me. Siya, pa, mali man to yung style nga. Ang gibuhat na ko, I came out of my office and start calling people. They're having their classes. Gawas! Gawas! Totoo na ko sa gawas. Ako pa yung nauna. Wa pa yung linog na ko sa gawas. Gawas! Gawas! Siya pa. Paano mo na siya? Pa ka ng sa to? Duck ko sa to? Ha? Cover and sa to? I don't know. You know, the only thing I said to my son, I said, duck bito, di ba kayo madakdakan kag di ka mo hawa? Can you imagine sa kisami, mahagbong siya mo? Lamisa, mahagbongan ka? By the way, seriously, pag nailinog, we have around here, this are all made of, our ceiling are made of steel. So, impossible mo, dakdakan mo diha. And so, what you need to do, pag kalit ang linog, you duck in between the benches. Kay mga strong benches na, those are almost iron wood. And kung di na yun, pero you can duck there while we are going out. Adi ko mo kumpiyansa ng duck. Kadi mo duck-duckan mo. So I have no offense to the people that are, so kita mang inuranti man tana. And said, what do you do if it happens sa balay, sa ecoland? Duck-duck kadihaw niya. Ang tsunami can reach to 10-story to 15-story building. So tago ka, duck-duck kadihaw niya, tsunami. Pila ka stories ang, wah, gihapon, patay gihapon ba? Actually, pag time na nimo. Importante nga ready kang mamatay. Importante lang you serve the Lord. And we are all saved and we are ready to die. But we don't want to feel ashamed when we die. Someone was dying and then requested the preacher to visit him, to be on his bedside. And said, so he tried to read some verses. Said, Pastor, I'm not afraid to die. We said, what's the problem? Said, I'm ashamed to die. So I hope it will not be true to us tonight. Natay mga promise sa Ginoo that unfulfilled. We have made so many promises to God. Lord, I will serve you. I will be faithful to you up to the last breath of my life. Lord, I will not allow any circumstance to keep me from serving you. So I hope we have we are still keeping our promise to the Lord. So we are commanded to be still. Amen? Be still. Relax. Duck. Means you stay calm. Be at peace. Open your Bible, please, with me. This best illustrated in Mark chapter 4. Verse number 35 to 41, please. Mark chapter 4. Verse number 35 to 41. Let me read that. Mark chapter 4. And verse number 35. We begin reading verse number 35. Thank the Lord we have the Bible. God has given us this book. Mark 4, verse number 35. It says, and the same day when he was, when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over the other side. And when they had sent away, he had sent away a multitude, he took him, even as he was in the ship. There were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, was the back, asleep in a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, he says, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now the disciples were so terrified by the storm. First of all, observe verse 35, that they had completely forgotten his promise. That they were going to the other side. Said to them, let us pass over unto the other side. For sure, his commandments, now we need to write this down. His commandments are always his enablements, and nothing can hinder the working out of his plan. He did not promise an easy trip for them, but he did promise a guaranteed arrival on the other side. We will surely reach the other side. Secondly, the Lord was with them. So what was there to fear about? They had all already seen his power demonstrated in his miracles. So they should have had complete confidence that he could handle the situation. Look at verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And you know how those horrible waves were made quiet, and those were made quiet by the Word of God. The peace of God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God would like to see your heart find peace tonight. You can have peace as you read the Word of God. The Holy Spirit makes the Word of God real to you. And that is the benefit of reading this book. If you read it by faith, if you go to the Lord in prayer, reading His Word, you know what? There is a divine person that goes beyond the normal reading of the Word. There is a divine person, the Holy Spirit of God. He can take the Word of God into your life and make it a reality. As if the Lord stands right beside you when you read the Bible. Why? Because there is a Holy Spirit that interprets the Word of God, makes the Word of God real. Isaiah 26 verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. That's the secret. Whenever we read the Bible, pray before you read the Bible. And while you read the Bible, commit yourself to the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. You say, Lord, I need to know the Word of God. While I'm reading, please, as I have been taught, please, as I have learned the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I want the Holy Spirit to interpret the Word of God to me. I want the Holy Spirit to simply bring the strength and bring in my life the peace that I need that comes from the Word of God. Jesus Christ issued the word of God and he said, "Peace be still." Can you imagine? And there was peace. There was peace. Number two, we fully submit to him. We need to be still before God. And in doing so, we submit to him. We fully submit to him because we know him to be God. Be still and what? The next word. Know. We know his being God is a sufficient reason why we should be still before him. We find peace. Why? Because he is God. He can handle the situation. So number one, he is God. So he's absolutely and infinitely a perfect being. And so it is impossible for him to do anything wrong, especially as his beloved children. Remember what Jeremiah 29 verse number 6. God is eternal and receives not his existence from any other. So therefore, he cannot be limited in his being or any of his attributes. Attributes means his characteristic. See, to be honest with you, I have preached this message, this outline. Well, I was meditating on this chapter yesterday, and I always try to look at my previous sermon so that there will not be a repeat of, you know, things, saying things. So I scanned my old notes, and the Spirit of God began to work in my life. He said, "Why don't I preach it again tonight? We can easily forget things." So I said, "I have a note here that I have preached this twice already. I'm preaching it for the third time tonight." You never cease to find things, allowing God to speak to your heart. And I hope that as the Lord spoke to my heart alone yesterday, that he would do the same in your heart tonight. God is self-existent. What does it mean, self? He's the Jehovah God. He's the Jehovah Yahweh. And he's the self-existent God, meaning God exists because he exists. He's not dependent upon anything or anyone for his thoughts. You know, we have great world leaders. They always, and they make the decisions out of their advisors. Whether you are President Trump or whoever you are, you always have some people surrounding you, giving you advice on military affairs, on economic affairs, political affairs. You have a group of people that will advise you. God doesn't need anyone to give advice to him. In Romans 11, verse 33-34, Romans 11, 33-34, "Oh, the depth of the richness, both of his, of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out." You can never know God's thoughts, God's ways. "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor?" You don't try to give instruction or somehow suggestion to God of his will. Romans 9:19, his power. Psalm 115 verse 3, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." Nobody can say, "God, wait a minute, Lord. I guess you are doing it much. It's so much already. And Lord, you need to do this. You are lacking something here." No. God does it perfectly. And whatever he does it because he knows. God is self-existent. God is eternal. It means God is absolutely free from the tyranny of time. In him there is no past or future, but always one, always and never-ending present. God will never have to desire and try to figure out what he will do 1 million years from now. God knows it. It is as if it is present. Deuteronomy 33 verse 27. Deuteronomy 33 verse 27. "The eternal God is thy refuge, And underneath are the everlasting arms. It shelters you. It upholds you. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. Psalm 102, verse number 11 and 12. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Can you imagine? God never changes. He's always the same. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, He's the same. God is infinite. What does it mean? We say God is infinite, infinite or infinite. God has no limitations. God is omnipresent. The great theologian A.H. Strong defines this attribute as follows. God, in the totality of His essence, without diffusion, without expansion, multiplication, or division, penetrates and fills the universe in all its parts. God is in China tonight, completely. God is in Mexico tonight. God is in Jordan tonight. God is in the Philippines tonight. God is in Guerrero Street tonight. Meaning, particularly, God is in the Bible Baptist Church tonight. As He is the same in other places. God is omnipresent. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Genesis 18, verse 14. Is there anything too hard for God? God is omniscient, all-knowing. God possesses complete and universal knowledge of all things, past, present, and future. He sees all things. He knows all things. Thank God. Number two, God is so great that He's infinitely above all comprehension. God, as God, He claims the right of ownership of all things. I hasten myself here. Because God is God, He will always be acting as sovereign. He sits on the throne of His sovereignty. His kingdom ruleth over all. He will be exalted in His sovereign power and dominion, as He Himself declares. I will be exalted, God says, God's promise. I will be exalted among the heathen. There is no government in the world today that is not under the control of God. We may not open hear Him, His dominion, His sovereignty, His power mentioned in the United Nations, but He's still the God of the United Nations. Number three, we have the unreasonableness and the wickedness of refusing to submit to the sovereignty of God. Now, it is horrible mistake to deliberately ignore God's sovereignty, because God is God. He will require every person to stand before Him in judgment. You will stand before God. And lastly tonight, this great truth about God should provide our faith great comfort tonight. Great consolation tonight. And I dare say, in the middle of the night, if a 8.5 earthquake will hit Davao City, pagbangon nimo, I ask you, will you get terrified? Of course, yes. But to be honest, kita ni mga poste na natumba na, imong balay to anang atop sa ilawom. How would you feel? I remember a man they had in London. A great earthquake hit the place, and everybody crumbled down, and his house was totally damaged. Early in the morning, he was trying to pick some things. Kutsara was ginagmay. And he was overheard by neighbors singing praise, you know, praising God, singing gospel songs. And he had a happy face. And everybody was sorrowing, everybody was feeling hurt. And they asked him why. And you know what he says? I may have lost everything. You see me picking a few things here, picking up a few things. But I'm still glad that after all, he says, the God that I serve, I'm so glad to know that he can shake up the world. He has the strength. Uyugo niya ang kalibutan. That's the God I serve. This great truth about God should provide our faith great comfort and consolation tonight. Be still and know. In whatever situation you are in right now, maybe you feel life is not fair with you. Maybe you feel hurting. You feel discouraged. You feel afraid. God says, relax. Be still and know that I am God. You can be still because you know there is God in heaven. And that God is your Father. That God cares for you. So we should entirely find our peace, our security in God, and in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know we have a relationship with Him because we know Jesus Christ. The only thing that made us related to that God tonight is our relationship with the Son. He lives in our heart. We should look up to God as our only source of help. We should look up to God as the sole provider of every need. I want you to know tonight, my friend, if this is your first time to attend the Bible Baptist Church, you're not yet saved. You need to know Jesus Christ tonight. Or maybe you're listening to me. Maybe you are watching tonight, or maybe you're watching sometime this week or next week. The greatest concern of God for us is our salvation. He sent His Son to die for our sins because God loves you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can be saved tonight. Open your heart. And that receiving of the Son of God will open a relationship to the God we have preached tonight. Child of God, the only way to defeat our fear is to trust God. Believe God, trust God, commit everything to the Lord. 1 Peter 5, verse number 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Let us all stand up, please, this evening. Commit yourself to the Lord. Put yourself in the hands of God. But how can I do that, Pastor? How can I have the assurance? First of all, you receive His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and your Savior, and you will be saved tonight. Commit your life. Commit, God says, your ways to the Lord. Commit everything to God. Cast your burden upon the Lord, God says, and say, Lord, you know that I who I am. You know, Lord, my real condition right now. I realize that I am totally helpless. I realize, Lord, that I need you. You are everything for me right now. I come to you in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, tonight. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. And thank you, Lord, that in spite of the recent development of things here in this part of the country, the earthquakes and authorities tell us that it can last up to December, meaning any time it could hit our place. And Lord, help us to put our faith and confidence in you. Help us to trust you. Help us to believe in you tonight. Commit our lives to thee. And the Bible says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. The peace prayer, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord. I pray tonight that your peace will find a special place in our hearts. While eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I just wonder tonight if you say, Pastor Ingay, God has spoken to my heart tonight. I want you to pray for me. I have some kind of need tonight. I'd like to pray for you as I continue this prayer this evening. How about slipping your hand up and I can see you and say, Amen. I see that hand. I see those hands. Somewhere else. Amen. You may put them down. Amen. I see those hands. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you tonight for allowing us to know there is a God. A God who cares. A God who knows. You are the great God that we serve tonight. Help us to learn to totally commit our ways to thee. Humble us, Lord. Forgive us of our sins. And take away the pride in our hearts. Help us to love you. Most of all, love you. Above everything else, Lord, we need to love you. We need to trust you. Believe in your word. In Jesus' name, I pray tonight. Amen and amen.